Greetings. This is James Gillen with BBS Radio, and our program with As You Wish is getting pretty interesting right now. We've got some amazing things going on, and there's so many things. We've got the new newsletter at you can go to earthnews@esetti.com and check that out. We've got a lot of other things going on. The sun is just revving up, getting ready to blast us with another X-class flare. It's already thrown off a few X and M-class flares, and it's heading direct. So hang on to your hat, because we're going to have a lot of energy coming in. A lot of other things. We wanted to say, give condolences to Dolores Cannon, who also passed away. Dr. Yamoto passed away. And Lee Chen, one of our major players here in the Seattle area, has also passed away. So a lot of people are checking out and working from the other side. And anyway, it's not such a bad thing. I've done it myself a couple times and came back. So anyway, I'm sure they're doing great on the other side. Our guest today is Jennifer Pawlowski, and she's a highly skilled attorney with 7 years of litigating experience as an intellectual property commercial transaction lawyer. And at the behest of the Ali I Nu Moi I, Edmund K. Silva Jr., she is currently serving as a Chief Justice for the Kingdom of Hawaii, and works tirelessly on all issues concerning Hawaiian sovereignty and independence, specifically on behalf of the Hawaiian people. To that end, she is helping to create a legal system for the Kingdom of Hawaii that truly works for the people and actually promotes truth and justice rather than promoting and protecting the commercial interests of corporations. Further, she is actively working to save Hawaiian homes from foreclosures by exposing the fraudulent bank loan process that are in effect today, and proving that banks never had any actual money to loan any of its customers. She is also working on behalf of the Cherokee Nation as their general counsel upon the imminent restoration of the Kingdom of Hawaii. Jennifer will assist in restoring the Kingdom of Law and jurisdiction over all Hawaiian lands to protect the kingdom, the Aina, and the people residing in the archipelago. I hope I'm saying that right. But anyway, Jennifer, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you, James.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong. Can you pronounce Edmund's Hawaiian name for us?
It's actually Ali'i Nui Moi. It just means High Chief. Ali'i Nui Moi Edmund Kili'i Silva Jr.
Okay. Yeah, I want to make sure I get that one right.
That's Hawaiian for High Chief. It means king.
Yeah. It's archipelago, is that right? Or how do you say
it's
that?
Archipelago.
Archipelago. Archipelago,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, just wanted to get that straight on the record. But,
the kingdom... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Archipelago just stands for the... There's over 100 islands in the chain that are beyond just the islands that we know of as the Hawaiian Islands, and all of those islands fall under kingdom jurisdiction, and that is what we're referring to when we say archipelago, is all of those islands, not just the 7 or 8 that we know as part of the de facto United States, State of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very much interested in that. You know, going to Hawaii every year, I've been going over to Hawaii and working with a lot of the higher consciousness and energy and the portals and the ancient ancestors and a lot of that. But I think it's amazing that we're actually getting this grounded now and here on the physical and getting a restoration of the island. There's a lot of different areas I want to go into. I'm not sure where you wanted to go, but first of all, maybe you could just talk about the process that is underway and how far along you are with that process.
Basically, this is actually common knowledge. It's surprising to most people on Turtle Island or North America, but many of us that live here on the island, it's common knowledge that the Hawaiian Kingdom is under military occupation and has been by the United States government since 1893. And for those who are hearing this for the very first time, you can actually check on what is known as the Apology Act Resolution, which was passed in 1993 and signed by Bill Clinton, who was the then president at the time, and in that act, which is now a public law, the United States government admitted that they were here illegally. They admitted that when they came to the island and they stole the kingdom from Queen Liukalani, that they did so in violation of international law and of their own constitution, which states that they have no jurisdiction outside their borders. Under international law, you can only take over the land of another nation through war or through treaty. The United States has no treaty with the kingdom allowing it to be here, and there was never a war. So it was basically a false flag was raised in 1893 because some very wealthy men saw Hawaii as basically a wonderful grounds to really make a lot of money on sugarcane and pineapple. And because it was, you know, they basically saw it as basically a gold mine, they convinced some of their buddies in Congress to send a navy out here and basically strong-arm the queen into relinquishing. They actually held her captive in her own palace for over 8 months. And they basically forced her under duress to sign over the kingdom to the United States. But it clearly says there that she's relinquishing the kingdom under duress and in full hopes that the United States would do the right thing and restore the kingdom back to her. At the time, Cleveland was president, and he did actually promise to right the wrongs. But before he could do that, the next president came into power, and the kingdom has been under military occupation for 120 years. And anyone who doesn't believe that merely has to go visit Oahu, which I'm a military brat myself. My mom and dad both served in the Air Force. I have never, ever seen so much military presence on such a very, very small piece of land. So that is how they retain control over the kingdom, is through their very strong military presence on Oahu. So under international law, the kingdom has always been here. It never went away. It still is here. And in fact, the United States government had treaties with the kingdom before the illegal overthrow, recognizing them as a nation. So as far as the process, when you asked about that, there's nothing that we have to do really legally. Legally, we're already here. What it's come down to is resources. We do have the right, for instance, if you get a traffic ticket or some kind of crime occurs in the Hawaiian Islands, you do have the right to have it heard by the kingdom courts. It's simply a matter of basically finalizing that system so we have a brick-and-mortar building that you can come to and people that are actually employed by the kingdom to hear your case. And that's really where we are right now in the process. We already have all of the laws on our side. We're simply right now collecting the resources that we need to get the brick-and-mortar operations going.
And I know that now there's a lot of other things that you get in. I know you have the brick and mortar thing going. Is there going to be like a new ID and maybe driver's license issued as well?
Well, we don't. So there'll be kingdom passports. That's already in the works as well. Is if you reside here in the archipelago, you will have the right to get a kingdom passport, and that will be recognized internationally. We are probably going to be more in line with the Cherokee that I also work with, as you said earlier, in giving travel permits, because many people, again, don't know this also, but it was a well-known fact in the early 1900s that there's no such thing as a driver license for people who have the right to travel. That was merely a statute that was created for people who made money off the road, such as taxi drivers, limousine drivers, truckers. They had to obtain a license from the state because they were making money off the highways, and therefore they had to help pay for the maintenance. But people, regular people traveling to and from, are not going to need a driver license in the kingdom. It'll be more of a travel permit that will only be revoked if, you know, there's a situation where you're getting into several accidents or hurting yourself and others, things of that nature. So it's not going to be commercial in nature like it is on North America right now.
And we've had a lot of go-arounds with that here, and it's been quite of interesting. And you know, we've had people here at Yosetti and other people getting tickets and actually going in and you know, making that case, as well as stating a few other things, as well as saying that, well, where's the injured party and thing, you know, things.
Yeah.
And actually, they just threw it out.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Well, basically, they just, you know, threw it out, you know, and just like all the court cases I had, they were so glad that to just get rid of everything now, and now they don't bother me more because, you know, we've stood our ground over and over again.
And that's really where I get the most excited about the unique position that the kingdom is in right now, because being an attorney in the North American system, knowing all of the problems that the legal system has there, the fact that the governments have turned into commercial, commercial for gain corporations, all the statutes have now become about commercialism. When I spoke with the king about the governments that we can have in place here, it would be very, very exciting to have a government that really, truly works for the people, not in a commercial gain sense, but as a government was meant to be, which is a voice for the people, doing as the people wish. I remember that saying that the people should not fear their government, the government should fear the people. And I believe in a system where the government really works for the people, the judicial system, the legislative system, the executive system, there's no need for either to fear on either side because they're working in harmony with each other. And that's really the goal that we are shooting for with the kingdom, is having laws in place that are not for commercial gain, not about commercial, which is all North American laws are about right now, is commercial gain, but really laws in place to help protect the people and the land working together in harmony.
Yeah, I agree. I know there's a lot of people that are down and out, and actually they're writing them tickets for, like, loitering and things like that. They've got no money whatsoever, trespassing and things, and they're already, you know, in the pits. And rather than write them another ticket and put another burden on top of them and then, you know, taking them to jail or putting a warrant out for them because they couldn't pay the ticket, it's tyrannical. It's just being a psychopath, basically. It's a system that really is so messed up that, you know, and disheartened, basically. There's just no compassion, no assistance, you know, to the humanity with that. I mean, basically, they should be going, hey, buddy, you know, you look like you're down and out. It looks like you need a roof over your head. We got a soup kitchen over here. You know, something like that. I mean, that's when I believe the system works, you know, when they have a system like that in place.
Well, that's the whole point, and that's exactly what I was referring to, a system that truly helps. Okay, for instance, I mean, under kingdom law, people don't own the land. The land belongs to the kingdom. It belongs to God. And we are merely stewards of the land, and therefore, under the kingdom, people didn't have to pay atrocious land values. No, they simply had to pay for the brick and mortar on the land that they were actually living in. So, you know, everyone can afford to live in a home because you're just paying for the actual materials. You're not having to pay for the land. And the agreement is, as long as you do not destroy or harm the land, you're welcome to stay on the land for as long as you and your family would like. And that's what you're talking about, the loitering and being down and out. A lot of those people are homeless. They don't have their own food source. And I know here in Hawaii, it's ancient tradition that you can go out to the ocean and you can get what you need. You only take what you need. There's no such thing as fishing for 25 fish for you and your wife. You take what you're going to have for dinner that night and nothing more. But these same people that have been doing this for centuries under their culture are being now ticketed for fishing without a license under the state of Hawaii. And so these are all things that have to be gotten rid of, that the system has to work for the people. It cannot work against them. And that's, I think, what you're talking about. We should be looking more at how we can help one another as opposed to looking the other way when we see somebody else in need. So my hope, and maybe I'm a bit of an idealist, but my hope really is that because so many people know about Hawaii and love Hawaii, they don't know about the legal history, but as a location, whether it's because of the spirituality that you feel here or the beauty or the ocean, whatever it is that draws other people of other nations to Hawaii, my hope is that what we're doing here, the way that we build our government and help our people and restore the land here, can really be an example, a model for the rest of the world.
Yeah, I agree. I tell you what's interesting, when I was meditating in Hawaii, I got a very clear voice, and I had some of the ancestors come in, and they said the land will return to the people, and very clearly. Yeah. And I go, wow, you know, that was really strong. And then I was communicating with Pleiadians, and they were saying universal law will be restored. They said they're taking an active role in that now. And they said that the whole Archon network, which would be the commercial law, the way, you know, it's an extortion racket, they said that whole network is going to be unfolding and collapsing. And they're actually working on doing that on levels that we're not even aware of. They're actually changing the grid and reinforcing the higher consciousness and energy and collapsing the old consciousness and the old way. So they said, you know, they've been telling us tyranny is coming to an end. You know, it cannot function anymore, and it's not frequency specific to where the Earth is evolving. But lately I've been really feeling good about that there is some major backup right now for this to happen. You know, mm-hmm. not just in the heavens, but on the ground. And I know you and I are both privy to some information we both can't talk about.
Right.
But things have happened. You know, things have already happened on a very high level. And now
yes.
it's just going to bleed down to this level. But it's pretty much over for the tyrants, and it's over for that old network. It's just a matter of time to unravel one and restore the new and put the new one in place.
Right, and with that new system, there'll be lots of different things, lots of work that will be created for people, but I look at it more, instead of a job, more of like your joy space, because it'll be things that, you know, I mean, on the islands here, things just grow in a way that I've never seen anywhere else. I mean, we have enough soil to feed not just the islands, but a big chunk of the surrounding land around the islands because mm-hmm. of how well things grow here, yet we're doing 95% imports right now because all that's on the island is on through GMO crops and sugarcane. That's all that really grows here right
yeah.
now. So there'll be like a 5 or 10 year period where we've got to go ahead and till that land, get that soil back in line with the way God intended, healthy, producing its own minerals, and then we can start to plant and really kind of restore Gaia to her original beauty. So the taking down of the old and the implementing of the new is just the beginning for all of the wonderful work that we as humanity have ahead of us to really bring back prosperity to this globe.
Mm-hmm. And we really don't need all that sugar anyway. That's
yeah.
between the white sugar and the flour, that's pretty much killing everybody. But, there are ways of restoring it. And I know the hemp is amazing, you know, and sunflowers will actually clear the land, even of radiation. It's amazing. But there are ways of planting crops in there that would restore the land and also provide all the building materials you'd ever need, on a sustainable basis, as well as, you know, with the hemp oils now they're coming out with, they have incredible healing properties. So there's so many other crops that could be grown there that are beneficial. I'm wondering, I'm sure there's probably a whole host of people that would know how to restore the land and how to get rid of the chemicals. One of my main concerns is I call them Monsatan, basically, Monsanto, is what they're doing there with the chemicals and the runoff with all the chemicals and the Roundup and everything and the 190 other chemicals they've been playing with there. And the overspraying, and it's just in the water, and a lot of people are actually drinking that water, runoff water that's collected. I think there has to be a huge effort to somehow clean that up and find ways of purifying the water again and restoring that nation. I know some technologies that would do that. Maybe we can we'll hook up when I get up there with these technologies and we can talk about that, but... I know there are ways of, if we're going forward in that direction, we'll get all kinds of help, not just from other scientists, from people on other levels as well that'll come in and help us restore the planet.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I've had the privilege of meeting some really, really passionate people out here. In fact, one of my dear friends is a permaculturist, and hearing him talk with the excitement as we go traveling around the island of all the different things that we can do right away, it creates a real big energy buzz, and we've been in contact with other people from other nations. For instance, you know, over in Europe, they actually burn their garbage for energy. Well, we all know that we can have free energy, but why not go ahead and use the garbage that we have before it makes its way into the ocean for energy now, and then we can trade over to the free energy that we all know and love. So I do know there's technology out there. We can actually take the plastic out of the water down to them. Like when it's the little tiny microorganisms of plastic, they know how to take that out of the water now. So I know there's going to be a way to get all these nasty Monsatan, as you refer to them, chemicals out of our water supply as well.
Yeah. And, yeah, it definitely needs to go, because that's one thing I noticed there when I was drinking some of the water. I go, God, I'm feeling dizzy here. There's something... I'm super sensitive when it comes to water, and I go, I'm feeling something off here. And then we started testing some of the water and checking it out, and that Roundup is like everywhere. So there has to be a huge educational program saying, hey, no more spraying the highways, no more spraying sugarcane, no more spraying anything with this stuff. It's gotta end now, you know, these chemicals are using there.
Well, remember, that's one of the great things about restoring fully and into place the kingdom jurisdiction, that stuff will be outlawed. There'll be, people often ask, well, what happens to all the people that are already there once the kingdom is restored? And I tell them, you know, these businesses and these residential homes and things, they'll go on with business as usual, the difference being if there's going to be a tax implemented, they'll be paying that to the kingdom and not to the de facto United States corporation. But the corporations that have harmed the land, like Monsanto, there'll be no negotiation with them. They'll have to go. There is no, now you're paying us taxes. No, you have to leave and leave immediately or you will be arrested. So that is going to, the no Roundup, the no GMOs, those type of laws, what we call, in my mind, are emergency type laws because they threaten all life. People, plants, animals, all life. Monsanto threatens all life. Those type of operations will be ordered to cease and desist immediately, or they'll be arrested on the spot. So those type of things will not be allowed to have in the kingdom.
That'd be awesome. I know there's technology here that I can talk about where they can actually take the water and use kind of a plasma generator and burn off any of the impurities in the water, and then the water actually comes out as super oxygenated water through this process, and it actually runs a generator at the same time and produces enormous amount of electricity all just from the water. And it's just amazing. You get purified super oxygenated water, which is, you know, oxygen is the highest systemic antibiotic you can get when you increase the blood oxygen. And then on top of that, you can generate all the electricity you need with this technology, and at the same time, you can clean up the water. And the water that comes out of this continues to clean up the water. As you add it to the water, it continues to break down any toxins or any virus or bacteria or things of that nature.
And that's wonderful. And I know Mother Earth is the way God created the earth. She really does function in a wonderful way. And just by stopping whatever it is that is harming her, whatever the action is, whether it's polluting or what have you, you know, radiation, just by stopping that altogether, she can start to heal herself. And then, of course, we can assist with the technology that you're referring to. So stopping the harmful action is a huge, huge step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a definite, you know, if we would just stop, she would clean herself up. But some of this stuff with the Fukushima and the other things that are going on, that is probably going to take some higher, some ET
technology. Oh, absolutely.
Technology.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's out of hand. We don't, we've pretty much killed the Pacific, you know, sent it a death blow. And, hopefully that can get, you know, mitigated here really soon with some kind of treaties with the peaceful ETs, you know, that have that technology and do that. But, you know, one of the things I've noticed that we have to, you know, gain the wisdom from our experiences. We have to, when we make mistakes, we have to learn and correct those mistakes. But because of this corporation we have, this corporate America program, they never fix the mistakes. They just keep making the same mistake over and over again, expecting a different result, and which is a form of insanity. And, you know, it goes back to these nukes. All of these nukes are ticking time bombs, you know, these nuclear generators and reactors. They're all ticking time bombs. If the grid goes down, they only have enough diesel to keep these things cool for so long. And then they go off, and we'll have a lot of Fukushimas everywhere. And just one big pulse from the sun, which is actually building right now to get ready to, I mean, they could, as far as the next couple of days, deliver a X-class flare. I mean, by the time this, actually we're doing a pre-record, when this show airs, we could be getting hit by an X-class flare. But the Carrington effect, you know, coming from a very large X-class flare would actually take down the grid, and then it'd have so much diesel. But with the grid, you couldn't pump gas to deliver more diesel. And, you know, it'd be such a mess with all the reactors. I think I know for a fact we have the technology to shut these reactors down and actually use other technology to run the dynamos or the generators, you know, which would be a piece of cake. And we have that technology's already here. There's a lot of other things we can do as far as making little smaller units and place them around to generate electricity to create either, you know, sovereign needs, you know, take care of energy needs in a sovereign way for each household. We can do that. Or we can also have some a bunch of little mini grids. If one went down, it wouldn't matter. You know, it wouldn't matter. The other devices would keep things going. But I'm wondering, if anything, do you have, you know, I'm sure once you restore the nation, you'd be open to all these other technologies that would be just much more efficient, and you wouldn't have to, you know, burn oil or coal or whatever else that's being burnt right now to generate the electricity.
Yeah, we have no intention of bringing that old system into the kingdom. I mean, I'm constantly researching new technologies, and they generally come from other countries outside of North America, but they have water-powered cars now and, you know, special solar panels that you can put on the roads that actually heat and, you know, power every home around. So and also act as a water treatment plant. So there's all kinds of really, really wonderful technologies that we plan to implement here, including, have you seen the Earthship homes that they have on the Earthship website?
Yeah, actually, I'm making one of them right now, and I've been involved in those and on the, you know, getting that information out to others.
Well, we got a hold of that information here, and I actually sent it to Kaylee, and we both just loved it. I mean, it absolutely fails all of the principles of the Hawaiian Kingdom. You know, 100% sustainability in line with Mother Earth, and in a very harmonic way, where every single home is its own grid, right? So.
Yeah.
Then that alleviates that right there. So we were very excited to get that information, and also it's very cost efficient. It makes sense for the masses to have homes like this because they don't run hundreds of thousands of dollars; they run several thousands of dollars. So
yeah.
I was really excited to get that information.
Yeah, that's a definite plus to build things like that. I know I've built things here, and you know, a lot of the construction I did here was totally recycled materials, and it turned out really nice anyway, and built a house out of a bridge, you know, and things like that. But, you know, it's to me, I'm seeing now that I'd much rather build into the land and build things that are actually, you know, kind of bunkered in a little bit and insulated well, you know, things of that nature, because they're sustainable and they'll be here for a long, long time. And there's ways of building things that take very little energy to heat or run them, as long as you build them correctly. But, you know, if you've got a giant high rise with 50 apartments or 150 apartments in it or things like that, it's a lot less efficient, you know, to try to heat something like that. I mean, it takes an enormous amount of energy.
Right, absolutely. And you had mentioned earlier that we're making the same mistakes over and over again, not learning from them. And I just wanted to make the comment that a big part of the reason why that is the case is because the corporations right now are running things. They're making all the decisions.
Yeah.
And the corporations, the bottom line is always profit. It's always how can we make the most money? It's not about the future 15 years down the road. It's about instant gratification. How can we make the most money right now? When you remove that corporate structure, when you remove that and you put a government in place that really does work for the people, you have no choice but to learn from your mistakes because you're the voice of the people. You're not serving your own corporate commercial interests. You actually work for the people. And in those type of situations, when you have true governments back in place, I believe that you do learn from your mistakes because it's a benefit for the whole group. You're all working together as a team. Instead of it's the corporations versus the little guy, it's all of us working in harmony. So that's what I meant when I was saying that I think Hawaii can be an example for the rest of the world when a true government is restored here and put into place.
Yeah, I agree. I'm curious what would happen, because you have those huge hotels, you know, right on the beach and a lot of major corporation activity there. How would that change for them?
Well, a big thing that would change right away is that the U.S. corporation actually, in order to support these corporations and these big tourist industries, they actually created these water channels, tunnels for the water, and they're diverting the water from the island into places where because we have a natural water runoff where it starts at the top of the mountains and goes down and waters basically the land below each peak, and that was working really, really well. It was helping things grow abundantly here. But now, with the corporations here, including the pineapple and the sugarcane, and Alexander and Baldwin are huge, huge water stealers, they're diverting the water, and so the islands, parts of the islands are drying up and dying. So those type of water canals would be immediately removed. So that would already have, just by nature, that would have an effect on the organization, because you can't have 5,000 people in a hotel unless you're stealing water from the land. So that would be a natural way of having to bring that way down. And, you know, for the kingdom, the king, Edmund Taylor Silva Jr., he doesn't want tourism to be the number one moneymaker on the island. There's no reason for that. With what we can grow here and the things that we can do here, we can create an economy that's not 85% reliant on tourism. Not that the kingdom doesn't want people to come and visit, but right now it's become so blown up and it's actually really, really taxing the island resources. So it has to be minimized, not taken away, but it has to be reduced in order to allow the land to be restored and in order to be sustained. It's not sustainable right now. Tourism is actually killing our islands in some respects. So we have to reduce it, not take it away, but we have to reduce it.
Yeah, there needs to be a whole different system as far as the sewage and all the other things. All that stuff has to be reevaluated and reworked, you know, to where, you know, the whatever's all the runoff and all the pollution, everything else is going out, you know, much cleaner. So you can go out and swim in the ocean, you know, and have, you know, beautiful, nice blue beaches, blue waters, and things of that nature.
Absolutely.
You know, but, I know there's technology does exist, and I know people that do know how to build that technology, and I'll definitely put you in touch with those people.
That'd be great. I mean, and again, the goal of the kingdom is to be sustainable. That's the whole point. So we should be able to grow more than enough food for what we need. Our oceans should provide more than enough fish for what we need. And so whatever the future holds for the kingdom, it's going to be set up in a sustainable manner. So the tourism will be sustainable. Mm-hmm. You know, the island itself will be sustainable. Everything will be sustainable. So there'll be modifications, but it will still be the Hawaii everyone knows and loves, but a much healthier Hawaii.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that definitely this needs to happen globally, but, you know, Hawaii can't be the example of that. I know here at Isetti, that's why I built Isetti. I tried to create a place that lived in total harmony with the land and a very spiritual orientation. And we have put that together here, and there's amazing energy here. It is on a vortex, and we are having contact with the higher dimensional beings and the Pleiadians and the ancestors of the Hawaiians. Are actually, we've had contact with them for some time. I'm curious, is there much thought put into the restoring communication with the ancient ancestors and the Pleiadians and things of that nature?
Yes, there is. I mean, Kay is a very spiritual man, and he does know. I mean, he actually gets communications from the ancestors himself, and so we know that they're a very, very important part of our future, because they are, like you said, we have to know about our past as we move forward into the future. And the thing about Hawaii, the ancestors are so, so important in Hawaiian customs. You know, you respect the ancestors, and there's a lot of traditions and customs where you can communicate with the ancestors. But the way that the things were done here on the islands before the illegal occupation and the military overthrow is exactly what we're talking about. It already worked. It was in harmony with Mother Nature. The Hawaiians did work the land in a way where the land flourished and there was abundance and prosperity for everybody. There was no lack here on the islands. And so the ancestors are particularly important here because they are the voice of the past. They are the voice of this is how it should be done in the future. So it was already being done here before the U.S. government corporation took it over. So that's why here the ancestors are extremely important.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time with Nahi. I don't know if you ever met Nahi over on Maui, but she's passed on now. And we had a lot of fun with the ancestors and the Palladians coming in and doing a lot of work, you know, on that level. But she's still there. She's crossed over now, but she's still working with us. And it's getting quite interesting, the information that is coming through as far as this shift and what's happening. And you know, you're definitely aligned with that shift and what's happening on the ground right now. And I think the more we work and do our part to create that alignment and to live in harmony with each other and nature, the more the ancestors can work with us, and eventually it'll just be, you know, won't take anything, because we'll be at the level of consciousness where we will totally, you know, reunify with our ancient ancestors and the star nations and things of that nature.
Yeah, it'll be just like it is when you call someone on the phone. You know, you just got to tap in, and there goes the communications.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I can actually see for our future. And I do run across people occasionally who feel like, oh, we're in too deep. There's just too much crap. We've done too much damage. And I always smile and I remind them, we are powerful, powerful creator beings. That is the way God created each and every one of us. We can do anything we set our minds to, anything. And if we all set our consciousness to healing Mother Earth and working together as a community, then it's done. There's mm-hmm. nothing that we cannot do. We're never in too deep. We can always turn back around. We can always turn this thing around. And I am very pleased with, I see as an awakening in consciousness all over the globe. I mean, me myself, I've only been awake for about 2 years. So before that, I was deep, deep in the corporate structure of, you know, I was a litigator and what. Anyways, I've been awake for 2 years, so I know that I don't care how deep in that muck you are, it just takes an instant, a moment in time, something that can literally change everything that you see and make you actually wake up and say, okay, we can actually do things differently. And so the more and more of humanity that has those experiences, the quicker we'll have Mother Earth cleaned up and back to its original pristine nature as God intended.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I came out of that corporate world too, and that was a little over 30 years ago. But I was in commercial real estate, you know, had my own office and people working for me. And I even almost hate to admit it, you know, that's what I did at one time, because I'm so far away from that now. But, you know, I always tell people that are so entrenched and into that world, and that world, you know, although I had everything, you know, I had the fast car, the fancy house, the, you know, the job, the title, all this stuff, you know, like that you're supposedly to have to be a success, you know, and to be well thought of in a very sick society, you might say. You know, I realized, especially after the near-death experience, how all these things owned me and how unhappy I really was and how little love I had in my life and true friends and things of that nature, and how people were just totally feeding off each other and manipulating each other. And I just go, wow, it's like there's such a lack of spirit and unity in that world that, you know, I had to leave. And I went and lived up in the Redwoods for a while. And I had to ground out after that, after having a couple of near-death experiences. And you know, I think about it now, and I just said, God, that was the best thing. Like losing everything, giving up everything and walking away. Now it's all come back to me even more so. And I mean, even more wealthier than I was then. And it just, you know, it's just, there's nothing to lose by changing. There's nothing to lose by aligning with your soul and your soul purpose. And when you are, everything's going to start manifesting effortlessly. But, you know, the process of stepping out of one world and going, there are challenges, and that's understandable. But you do have to, you know, let go of your fears and take that plunge. And I know a lot of people would be better off in the forest picking berries, you know, with their mink coats on, you know, rather than where they are in society.
Oh, absolutely. But the problem is, and it resonated with me a lot when you said near-death experience, because that's what it took to get me out of the system, too. I had to get very sick with cancer and have some really serious health issues for almost 2 years and before my organs started to shut down. And I was a miserable existence for 2 years. Although, through all of those health problems, I went to work every day, 12-hour days, because that's what was expected of me, and that's what I was doing. And then literally, I had to take an emergency medical leave. And it was during that leave that I was like, I haven't seen the sunrise or set in 5 years. I haven't just walked along the ocean just to enjoy nature in like 5 years. And it was that experience that really woke me up, and me bringing my body with the help of some very enlightened beings back to its healthy state before I realized, this is disgusting. What am I working for? All the things that I think are so important don't mean anything. And had I died, I would have left with not having any of the experiences that we're meant to have as humans, which mm-hmm. is loving each other, the family, the community, you know, the land. This earth is such a beautiful place, and most of us never even get to see a quarter of it. And it's just that kind of hit me.
I agree 100%. I love what Chief Seattle said. He said, you take man out of nature, you harden his heart. And that is what happened. I just see such hardened hearts and zombies walking around now. You know, if you go to the mall and watch people, there's no light in their eyes. They're kind of blank and just there's really no love or unity or anything there. It's all like, I've got to buy this and I've got to get this and I have to look this way to be accepted and approved of. It's sad, you know, seeing that. But when you find somebody that's actually living in nature, close to nature, you see the lights on, you know, somebody's actually home, and it's a whole different reality.
It is, but I do believe that for all of us, that time will come. For some reason, for many of us that are awake, if we admit it, it took some type of a really hard experience to wake us up. And so
yeah.
But that also leads me to believe that it can happen for every single one of those lifeless souls that you see. They're just needing mm-hmm. that one experience, that one light switch where the light bulb comes on and they're like, oh my gosh, this is not the way.
Yeah.
But the indoctrination runs so deep. I mean, from when you're very young in school, you're taught, you know, making the money, pledge allegiance to all of the things that you're taught to believe in. And when you wake up and realize they're not true, it's a huge smack in the face. It's a huge smack in the face, and it takes some work to kind of get through that. And I mean, I still occasionally have bad dreams of the way I felt when I was in that corporate structure, the all the stress and the pressure and the sleepless nights and, you know, wanting to be the very best of the best and always, you know, not even thinking about love and family, but just more and more and more success, success, success. And I wake up in a sweat. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was a horrible dream. Because that to me now is a nightmare. That is a nightmare. But so many people are so entrenched in it, they can't see how awful it is and how bad it is for their spirits.
Yeah, that's what they say about the American dream. You have to be asleep to accept it, you know. In truth, it's a nightmare once you really look at it. You know, you step back and look at it. I mean, how awake is that to actually war on each other and the planet, destroy the very platform for life we live on, you know, and just mm-hmm. constantly compete and things like that. I mean, that's a nightmare. That's not a dream. And then you have your 2.4 children or whatever, and you get your white picket fence in your house and you get enslaved up to the neck, you know, with manufactured lack and debt and then you finally, when you hit 60-something, you know, you can retire, and then you can go out and do all the things that you could have been doing all your life.
You know? Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But the good news is that there's a lot more of us that are doing it in a different way. So, because we're not born with that innate nature to compete in commercialism. That is taught to us. So, if there's another way of doing things that we can get out into the mainstream media and out into the eyes of the public, that's what I see as the Hawaiian Kingdom being, is an example for others. Mm-hmm. There's a different way to be. There's a different way to do things, and you can have all the things that you want and need and be happy. You can be truly, truly happy. If you show that, if there's another way of doing things, I think that that switch will flip on a lot quicker for most people. They won't have to have a near-death experience in order to get them to wake up. They'll be able to say, oh, look at the way that Hawaii's doing it. Or look at the way, you know, another nation is doing it. Wow, there is a different way. I think I resonate more with that way. So they'll have something mm-hmm. to look at as an example. That's what I can see.
I agree. And, you know, that's why I created that template here, because people come here and they have life-changing experiences. And they, you know, they look up and they see the shifts, and it just turns their reality upside down. And they're going, wait a second, if these are real, if there are these extremely highly advanced beings, you know, that are out there and they have been lying to us for 60 years or more about that, you know, what else are they lying to us about? And they start challenging and thinking outside the box, and they're going, well, wait a second. And there's also an awakening that happens here because of the energy of the vortex, that people go through a shift, and then they go back and they go, well, I can't do this anymore. I've got to do something different. And, you know, they'll see people working the land here, having fun, living in harmony, in a pristine environment. And it's just, they realize, wow, the energy here versus the energy when I go back to my cubicle or my little apartment or whatever, there's such a huge difference that, you know, it is a major wake-up call.
Yep. And that's perfect. It's exactly as it should be. So, and my parents actually, they described it the same way. They said it was just a magical experience on your ranch. So, it's definitely on my to-do list in the next year to get out there.
So, Jennifer, the end game there, I mean, what is the end game that everybody would like to see as far as the Hawaiian Nation, you know, being restored? I don't know if you have something. We just have maybe another 10 minutes left. So give the people some idea of really where we're headed, you know, with all the work that all of us are doing here.
Well, the biggest and most important thing, obviously, is the restoration of the kingdom jurisdiction, with the king being Edmund K. Lee Silva Jr., and having the United States de facto government removed from the islands. Is the number one goal, simply because of the amount of damage that the United States government is doing to the land every single day. I mean, their military bases are really polluting the oceans. They're allowing Monsanto to have free range on the island. We've got huge, huge landfills of garbage that are filling up more and more every day on an island. Like I said, we do 95% imports here because the corporations are growing Monsanto crops and sugarcane everywhere instead of having our own farms and our own food stores here on the island. So the end game is to have the Hawaiian kingdom fully restored under the king and to have the islands be 100% sustainable. So we should be able to produce enough food here, not only to feed our own people, but we can also export and go into trade with other nations. So, and the end game really is about the people and the land. It's restoring that balance between the aina and the people, because in Hawaiian culture, the people's genealogy includes the land. So the land and the people are really one. And because it is a part of who Hawaiians are as a people, when the U.S. government stole that away from them, it really decapitated their spirits. So by allowing the people of this beautiful nation to be reconnected back to the land in a way that is it's in their DNA, and that allows the people here to heal and the earth to heal, because we both have to work together as one. It is not us versus the earth. It's literally, if the earth dies, we die. So the end game is to get that structure back in place of living in harmony with the land and having an economy and a legal and an executive system that really works in harmony with the people and the land. That's the end game.
Mm-hmm. Great. And, you know, that needs to happen everywhere. And I know it is being restored. We need, you know, with all the common law courts and a lot of the other work that's being done, there needs to be some kind of a system that is actually beneficial to the people, not extorting, you know, money and resources and time and energy from the people, which is how it works now. And, you know, it's like we do need a template. We do need some kind of a template. Now, I know they tried to do some kind of a republic there at one time, but it was skewed by people that weren't so awake. You know, it was a false republic, and one that didn't really function. And just like we have a false republic right now, you know, it's like if we had a true republic, everybody would be king and queen, you know, on the land.
Of course.
I'm wondering if that would be kind of the direction the Hawaiian law would be going. You know, constitution that, you know, supports and restores everybody's rights and the right to the land and the right to do all the things that were done in the past. So there probably would be a Hawaiian constitution, something like that, restored. Yeah. And
Yes.
And a system that would defend, you know, each person to maintain those rights and things of that nature.
And that's because there's many of us working on the restoration of the kingdom right now. My area of expertise really is in the legal department. I had, you know, 7-8 years in a system that's broken and does not work and actually only favors the very, very wealthy in both criminal and the civil context. And it's all about money. And I want to see created here on the islands a justice system where the laws are so plainly written that regular Joe Schmo off the street doesn't need a high-priced $500 an hour attorney to interpret for him. And in fact, as you're aware and I know now, when you have to hire someone else to defend you, you're actually making the claim that you're not sovereign and that you're not of sound mind, that you're incapable of handling your own affairs. So I am an attorney, and I want to see a system created where you don't need me for the system to work. You know, the laws should be written very, very plainly. It should be the judge, the two people that have the issue, and a jury. And the jury will be the finder of fact and the finder of law, as they always should have been, and they were back, you know, many, many years ago before the corporate structure took over. And it'll be a system that works for the people. So that's where I'll be pushing. And right now, under international law, in order to restore what once was, you've got to go back to the way that things were when the kingdom was stolen, and that was a constitutional monarchy under a king or queen. At the time, it was a queen. So we do have to restore the kingdom under, and that's part of the reason why the republic that you knew of also did not work. There was no monarch. There was no king or queen as well. You have to go back to that to restore, and then if the people decide, once the kingdom is restored, that they want a different type of government to run the islands, that is their right. That is their right. And if they no longer want a king or a queen, we don't have to have a king or a queen. But under the law as it stands right now, we have to have a king in place. And Edmund K. Lee Silva right now is the only person with the genealogy and the pedigree that he has. And he believes he's on a mission from God. I believe that as well, to restore the kingdom. But once the kingdom is restored, if the people want to have things run in a different way, then their voices will be heard. That is true government, right? It's a voice for the people.
Yeah.
So whatever laws we go forward with in the future will be at the will of the people.
Now, is there some kind of I'm trying to think of what it would be like. Some places actually create a forum, you know, where people could come up and say, hey, and make suggestions and say, you know, this might be a better way of doing things or something like that. Some kind of before they used to do reconciliation forums and things like that. But, you know, probably would have to be something like that in the beginning, you know, because people have been doing things in such a screwed up manner, you know, give them a chance to say, hey, you know, I've been blowing it. I've been doing it wrong. And I want to come back and set things right. You know, a place for them to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And right now, too, in Hawaiian culture, there's a kapuna council, which is the council of elders. And the king meets with the council of elders on a regular basis on the different islands to see how things are going, what things need to be addressed. And so there's already that system in place already with the kapunas. So it shouldn't be too difficult to get a system in place where the people from the different islands can come together and have their voices be heard as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if everybody's serving people, as long as everybody's got the mindset of in service, you know, the creator and all creation or whatever name you want to give it, you know, it's not a problem. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are aligned with that.
Yes, absolutely. So, I really do see great things for the future of Hawaii. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely, you know, you got the Aloha spirit going there, and I know that march against Monsanto, when I was there, I was putting it over the air and working as much, doing what I can with my resources to really get that thing going, and I mean, I'm not taking credit for it. A lot of other people did that. I played a very small part in it, but to watch, I don't know, something like 2,500 people, somebody said, march against Monsanto, you know, that was amazing to see how many people were taking an active role in wanting to clean up the island and restore the island. And, you know, that brought a lot of hope to me to see that many people get involved.
And that is something that's all over the islands. There's actually a group called Mothers Against Monsanto, and they are doing some wonderful, wonderful work here on the islands. And it really, their mission statement is simple. It's simple, and it's something that is going to, I think, be emulated all over the islands, and that is what we love, we protect. And that really is what it comes down to, is the aloha spirit is not just about one another. It's, and it truly is, aloha truly is, it's a very, very spiritual thing in Hawaii. The word means many different things now, but its true context was a very spiritual kind of an awakening, a connection, an aloha, like an experience, like of awakening. And it connects the people to the land. And when you feel that, when you're connected like that, you'll do anything that you have to protect the land and the people around you. And that really is what the effort against Monsanto is it's an effort to protect that which that which we love, which is each other and the land.
And I know they've totally broken the rules there as far as the Hawaiian Constitution goes. I know in the Constitution it says that, you know, we don't have to prove it's unsafe, they have to prove it's safe and that it's not harming the land, and they can't do that, so they're basically out of business as long as that continues, you know, to be enforced.
And no, I know they when the nation,
yeah, when the white nation gets restored, then it has some teeth, and you say, okay, you're out of here.
Absolutely, and that's really yeah. where the resources come in, is that we already have the law on our side. We simply need a police, you know, an enforcement power to be able to pass laws and then go out and enforce them. That's really all that's left. That's why the resources that we're gathering together to do that right now are the last step. But it's a very critical step. It's a necessary step. Mm-hmm. We're already ready to move. We simply just need the resources to be able to back up the things that were the laws that we're passing. And we need the bodies. We need the police force. And I don't mean police force as it exists now, but I mean a body of people that enforce the laws of loving the Aina and loving each other. We do need that body of people here.
I agree. Hey, we hit the end of the hour, unfortunately, so we've got to sign off. Is there a way that people can contact you to help out in this effort?
Yes, if they want more information about what we're doing here on the islands, there's a website. It's hmkingdomofhawaii.info. So that is the website for the work that we're doing for the kingdom. And then if they want to contact me personally, they can actually send an email to me at jpalowski, and that's JPAWLOWS, like Sam, KI.79@gmail. That's the way they can get in touch with me if they want to actually assist with the efforts. And also, Kauai Lapelli has a blog site where he has an entire Hawaiian Kingdom series on the efforts that we're doing out here on I think it's KauaiLapelliWordPress.com. He's got an entire Kingdom series and a way to contact us there as well.
Great. Well, we'll put all that up on the website, you know, at BBS Radio, so people can contact you. And I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and bringing some clarity to all this that's going on. And keep up the great work.
Thanks so much, James. It was a pleasure being a guest on your show, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Great. All right. Take care.
Aloha.
All right. Aloha. James Dillon signing off. Have a great evening, and keep that aloha spirit going, and live in harmony with each other in the land, and watch the skies, because our ancestors are returning. Have a good evening.